Thank you for the truth that when we know the Lord Jesus, we have your Spirit abiding in us, and it is well with our soul because you're going to keep us and help us and also guarantee our coming to glory one day. We thank you for that man who wrote that hymn too, after terrible tragedies in his own life, that he's able to write such amazing words, "It is well with my soul." Father, thank you for the story that we'll be looking at today now in your word. We thank you for this amazing adventure and trial that Paul went through, and I ask that you'd help us to learn some great lessons from it for our own life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in my version of the Bible, in Acts chapter 27, verse 20, it says that the apostle Paul and the crew with him, all the people on board the ship, they went through no small storm. That's what it says, no small storm. What do you reckon of those words? Now, I just want to share a bit of a personal story. I remember those words are apt for the time Colin and I and the McKinleys went through no small storm. I haven't forgotten it. 2009. And I never forget that day when we were doing our only cruise that we've ever done from Da Nang, Vietnam, along the South China Sea towards Hong Kong. You know, the South China Sea is normally a really nice and peaceful ocean. But one day, it wasn't like that. I remember waking up, and it was an overcast day, and everything looked okay still. Then by mid-morning, you know, sort of that time when you're having a morning tea, the wind began to pick up. Oh, okay. And the waves began to build. By midday, the wind had really picked up. I decided to go into our cabin and have a look at the telemetry on one of the TV channels in our cabin. So I was having a look, and the wind speed's going 100 kilometres an hour, 120, 130, 140, 150, 160 kilometres an hour. Can you imagine that on the open water? And not only that, they had a camera facing from the top of the ship towards the bow of the boat, and we could see the waves constantly coming straight over the bow of the ship. Now, it's one thing to look at telemetry. It was another thing to actually feel what was going on. I forgot about that part. The whole ship is pitching and reeling and rocking and everything and creaking and groaning. You know, like that movie Titanic where you have those sound effects? It was like that. It wasn't good. Anyway, I was watching the telemetry for a while until it suddenly died. Oh no, the storm is getting bigger. So I thought I'd go for a walk around the area I was. We were in the front of the ship. That was the best place to be. So I'm walking around and I had to learn how to walk. For part of the time, walking was like walking on the moon. Why was that? Because that's when the ship was free falling off a big wave. And then suddenly it would crash, and then you try and walk while the ship is lifting. It was like being in an aeroplane pulling G's. It was difficult to get up and walk. That's how it was. It was crazy. Anyway, after all that, I decided to go to the safest place of the ship where Colleen was doing some craft thing. And that was the sixth level in the middle of the boat. So there we were. And I couldn't believe it, looking out and seeing the ocean, the surface of the ocean being ripped off by the strong winds and waves coming right up to the sixth level. Like it was just totally freaky. Oh, I'll never forget this. So that's how it was. And I never realised how bad it was until I met this New Zealand naval officer. And he said to me, "Ian, I have never been in anything like this, let me tell you. And I've been on destroyers in the Southern Ocean through storms." What is going on? So that's how it was. And even the workers, some of the Filipino workers on the ship were telling us that their cabins on the second level were filled with water. So the water had really come into the ship. So it was a serious storm, no small storm. And yes, the reason why it was the case was because there had been a rapidly developing typhoon. And we had been hit by that typhoon. And what about the people on board? Let me tell you that people weren't seasick anymore. People were totally freaked out. They were screaming. They were terrified that they were going to die. What an incredible storm. Except for some Aussies who were singing the Rod Stewart song, "We Are Sailing." But they were intoxicated. I'm sure they were. Oh, you've got to have something happening. I couldn't stop laughing my head off. What is going on? Well, when I think of the what we went through, I can, as you can tell, can completely relate to how the Apostle Paul would have been, and the 276 people on board that ship when they were hit by hurricane force winds in the Mediterranean Sea. It's an incredible experience. It's very scary. A boat, even a big boat, just feels like a cork on a massive ocean. And you feel like this could be it indeed. But you know, as I read through the book of Acts chapter 27, I want to this morning especially focus on how the Apostle Paul, in the midst of that raging storm, seemed to me, and he was, calm. Is that right? Calm and composed. And in a position of strength where he could comfort other people. And I also want to, of course, bring the parallel not just to natural storms, but I want us to realize that even in the storms of life, we can know, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know a calm and a composure in all the storms of life. Praise be to God, where we can be a rock and a strength and a comfort to the people around us. So this morning I want us to look at this story, look at how Paul endured this storm, but I want to relate it to our own lives, including the storms of life that we go through. Do we go through storms of life? We sure do. All of us do. And yet we can be calm and composed in all the storms of life. Well, let's look at three big things. The first thing that I want to say to you, something that brings such calm and comfort to us as a Christian, no matter what storm or trial we may go through, is what? I've got to say to you, it's God's power and God's promises to us that are such a stability to us no matter what we go through in life. Let's have a look at this in the case of the story here. We're going to read together Acts chapter 27 from verses 21 to 26. So just continuing on the reading. From after 20, we read about the no small storm, and then verse 21, we read, "When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, 'Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss.'" Or to paraphrase it, "I told you so." I love Paul. He had to say that. Oh, well, I would have probably said the same. Anyway, verse 22, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. But we must run aground on a certain island.'" And you see the Apostle Paul here. Just remember the storm. It's massive. It's hurricane force winds like we experience. It's just amazing. The ocean is like mountainous waves. And there he is in the middle of the storm, and he's speaking words to them, words to encourage the other people. How could he do that? Because he believed two great things. He believed in God's power and God's promises to him in this situation. You see that? The promises that he had been given made him feel calm and relaxed, and he could share and encourage the other people on board that ship. He was promised that in an amazing way, no one would die. Everyone would survive. The 276 people would all survive. But here's an amazing thing. The ship wouldn't survive. The ship would be destroyed, but no person. How can that be? We have to remember God's awesome power. No matter how powerful a storm is, God is more powerful than a storm. And God would use his power to fulfill his promise to Paul to make sure everyone on board would be spared, but the ship wouldn't be. How can that happen? We're going to find out. But God can do all things. And when we think about our great God, who has such awesome power, he's the sovereign God. He's the one who rules over all things. He has power to rule in our life, to calm our storms. And when we think of his promises to us, the promises he's made to us in the midst of the storms of life, not just a physical storm, but the storms of life, it brings great comfort to us. Does it not? It brings great assurance to us. We're able to sing, "It is well with my soul." Just think of the words of that guy who wrote that hymn. who lost his children in a storm on the Atlantic Ocean. He writes, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." It's one thing to go through a physical storm. It's another thing to go through the storms of life that so shake us and rock us to the core. But we have a God who is all powerful and a God who is so amazing with his promises to keep us in a good state. How good is that? You know, I can't help but think of some of the great promises that God has given us. I can't mention them all today because they'll be going for a long time. But what about these promises? Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6. Think of the storms of life that you have gone through or maybe going through right now. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, we read these words. God himself has said, "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." As a result, we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." There's a promise to take hold of, to give you calm in the midst of the storms you go through. And there are many great promises also that are given in regard to where we will go, even if God chooses for us to die. Even if our ship went down, we were buoyed up by the wonderful promises of God in regard to our eternal security in Christ, which is also found in that hymn, "It is well with my soul." Did you notice that? What great words they are. "Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." What glorious promises we have to help us in the storms of life. Praise be to God. Well, I'm going to mention another storm now. John and Charles Wesley were missionaries in America. There they were preaching the gospel, and they happened to decide to go back home to England. So off they went across the Atlantic Ocean. And as they went across the Atlantic Ocean, another big storm came as they were sailing across the Atlantic Ocean back home to England. Well, while they were going through this storm, they were freaked out. Yep, John and Charles Wesley. They were scared to death. They thought they were going to die. They were freaking out and crying out and all those sort of things. But then there were some other Christians there from Moravia, the Moravian Christians. They weren't like that. They're going, "Praise God! What an awesome God! Seeing the lightning and the thunder and the big waves. Praise God! What power our God has!" And they are rejoicing in the promises of God. "We're going to go home to heaven. Praise God!" Well, John and Charles Wesley were looking, "What is going on? We've just been to America to preach the gospel, and look at these." They knew there's something wrong. You know what? At that point in time, even though they were missionaries, they were not saved. They were not born again. They were doing mission work as a job. When they got to England, that storm really woke them up, and they sought Jesus and found Jesus, or he found them, and they got saved. But in that storm, wow, they were a total wreck. But that storm helped them come to know Jesus. But when we know Jesus, like those Moravian Christians, I know it might be a bit weird, but I felt like this too on the ship. Wow, what a storm it is. Praise God for his power. And it even made me think of Jesus. Can you imagine someone on this ship just going out on the balcony saying, "Peace, be still." And it went like that. That's what Jesus did. It made me think of his awesome power to rule over the waves and the sea. But I must admit that there were many people on that ship, most weren't Christians, and they really thought it was the end, and they were screaming. I have never seen anything like that in my life. People were so, so scared. But God was able to give us an amazing calm because we trusted in his power and his promises. Praise be to him, not us. Praise be to him for who he is. Okay, let's have a look at something else now. And I'd like to read the next part of this story. You've got to read the whole lot here, eh? Because this is a great story here. We're going to read from verse 27 down to verse 38 and pick up something else that we see here. So it says here, "But when the 14th night came," so fair time, And it says, as we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea, on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. Wow, they let the lifeboat, so to speak, fall away. Verse 33, until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing." Whoa, you're taking those words. They were so afraid, so stressed, they were doing everything they could to keep that ship going. They hadn't even eaten. Verse 34, Paul says to them, "Therefore I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish." Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. When they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. The rest of the food they threw out into the sea. Wow. Again, I want you to see how Paul is calm and composed, and he ministers to these people. But I want us to pick up something really special here in this story as I think about the storms of life. I can't help but see something else here in this story that I can apply in my own life. When I or when you go through the storms of life, I just praise God that He's an amazing God who provides for us for our preservation. There it was in that verse. In their case, it was to eat food. Verse 34, "Therefore I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation." And I can't help but think of a Father in heaven who does the same thing when we're going through the storms of life. He gives us the food we need, not just physical food, the spiritual food we need. He provides for us so that we might be preserved. For that's our God. Our God sees everything we go through, and He provides for us for our preservation. Praise be to God. What a picture it is for us. In the middle of a storm. In the middle of a storm. In the raging storm. To say, think of a storm of life that's like a big storm at sea. It's just knocking you about. The great God of heaven and earth is able to provide for you, to preserve you. What's your response to that? It's praise be to His name. What a God. How does He provide for us? Think of the things that He does. How many of us have experienced this? In the middle of a huge storm, a storm of life, we have come to experience the peace of God. The peace that calms us right through. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus." This is a very special thing that God provides for us in the middle of storms through His Spirit. And also think about how the storms of life just totally smash you. And then I read of a verse like 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16, where it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." God is able to give us strength from within to help us through the storms of life, as the Apostle Paul found, not just during a shipwreck, but in other times in his life as well. Let me read to you the opening verses of Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Notice those words. A very present help when? Especially in trouble. He's always there, but He's especially near you when you're in trouble. And what language is spoken of next? "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then it says Selah. That means stop. And think about the storms of life. They are just like a physical storm. They are raging at us. We are being shaken about like a boat on a big ocean. The storms of life can be like this. But the beginning of that section says God is our refuge and strength. But listen to verse 4. It goes on to say, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And I'm just going to stop it there. And I can't help but think of the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus speaks of the river of the water of life that flows in all Christians deep inside us, that provides everything we need to face all the things that we endure in life. God provides. What a great God. He provides in order to preserve his people. Wow. What about the last part of this section in this story? Let's read now verses 39 to the end of the chapter. When day came, and notice that when day came, they had been praying for daytime, for daybreak to come, and it had come. God was merciful, so they could see what was going on. When day came, verse 39, they could not recognize the land, but they did observe a bay with a beach, and they resolved to drive the ship onto it if they could. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosing the ropes of the rudders and hoisting the foresail to the wind. They were heading for the beach. But striking a reef where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the bow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners. Paul was a prisoner, don't forget. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they all were brought safely to land. They were all brought safely to land. No way! 276! The ship is breaking up and they all get saved. How can that be? Back to our first point, because God is amazing. He is all powerful. He was able to do anything. When I look at this section, the heading for me is God's protection and plans. God protected every single one. So easily, the soldiers could have killed all those prisoners on board, including Paul, but God intervened. Paul yelled out to the centurion. The centurion saw what was happening. He stopped what was happening. Not only that, what amazing protection God provided for all of them. They had the good plan. Let's run the boat onto the shore. The boat saved and everybody saved. But that's not what God said. God said the ship would go down. All right, so how is this going to work? They don't get their plan executed. It was God's plan. That ship hits a reef. Just happened to be a good reef because it sort of broke up gently. It broke up gently for a good reason. There was planks in the water. So if you couldn't swim, God provided a plank. How good is that? So that everyone survived. I marvel at this. God's amazing protection of everybody there. Not a hair on anyone's head was lost. Praise be to God. And he also had a plan to rescue everybody. A plan to rescue everybody. Do you see how awesome this is? This is incredible. Again, I can't help but think about the storms of life. And I think now of how God protects us. Do you know who he protects you from? He protects you from the evil one. That's in 1 John chapter 5. He protects you from trials and testings that you cannot endure. And he also has plans for you to get through things. We looked at this verse last week, but we're going to look at it again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and I said to you that it's better translated this verse with the word testing rather than temptation. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, the Greek word here is more to do with testing and trial. And it says, no testing or trial has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tested or tried beyond your strength. There's God's protection of you. This is a great promise to hold on to. He will not allow you to go through anything you cannot endure. And then it says something else. But with the testing or trial, He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. God has plans to help you through it. Who are you looking to? To yourself or to God, who has plans to help you through whatever you're going through? This is the great God we worship and adore. I think of a great passage in Isaiah 43, and I know it applies to Israel, but for us who are in Christ, it's yea and amen as well. In Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, listen to these words of protection that God provides for His people. Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And those words just are full of God's amazing protection of His people. And that protection that the Israelites enjoyed is the same protection we enjoy in Christ, even more so. Because we are dearly loved by God through His Son. What protection He provides. And what great plans He has for us. Plans for welfare, not for calamity. To give us a future and a hope. So when I think about these things, I can't help but have storms in life. Is that the same with you? Let's remember, we live in a fallen world. We live in a hostile world to our faith. There are plenty of storms that we're going to go through in life. But our God is incredible. It's our God who is our rock and refuge. It's our God who is able to give us a calm and a comfort beyond measure. And to give us a place of strength where we can be a blessing to others. Just like Paul was. I imagine he was preaching as well to all those people. This is my God. This is the God I worship and adore. The God who preserves and keeps us. This is the God we love and adore. I want to just finish by saying to you all, what is our response? What should be our response to our great God in all the storms and trials of life? I reckon we can see it in this passage. Verse 25 of Acts 27. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. There it is. Believe. Can you say that as Paul did? I believe God. I trust in Him. I trust in His Word. I trust in His promises. I pray and look to Him. He's the one I trust in. If you can't say that, the storms are going to really batter you. But if you can, you will have a calm and a peace through every storm of life. And don't trust yourself. Don't trust other people. We just like to do this, but have a look at verse 30. Look what was going on that ship in Acts 27, verse 30. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. Here's a plan of man. Here's people looking to themselves to try and escape, but it's going to end in disaster. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust other people. Trust the Lord. Trust Him in the storms of life, and He will see you through. And why do we go through storms anyway? Tell others of Jesus. Tell others of our great God. God gives us the storms that we might shine Him and share Him with others. I want to say to you all too, when we were on that ship, and I was freaked out for some of the time, I did get into rejoicing in the great power of God. But I had to do something. I had to steady myself. And Colleen as well and the rest of us. And what we did is, I remember in the open there where people were all over there, we just bowed our head and we prayed. And we prayed that God would help us to be calm and to comfort those around us. So that's what we did. We bowed our heads and we prayed and asked God to help us. And suddenly we were filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to have a peace about us. And I remember Colleen and myself, going and actually going to other people and comforting them and having the opportunity to share Jesus with them. Because we thought, yep, this could be it. We could be going down. This could be the end of our life. What should we be doing? But giving eternal hope to people who have no hope. God will use the storms of life to allow Him to shine through you and for you to share Jesus with other people. Do we love storms? No. But Lord, bring the storms on if they're going to help me grow and shine and glorify Your great name. What do you reckon? Well, we're going to sing a song now. Lord, I put my trust in You. Our Father, thank You that You are fully aware of the things that we go through in life. We thank You that allow us to go through storms of life, but You also put a limit on what we go through. Thank You for Your great sovereign power that rules over us. We thank You for the many promises that uphold us. We thank You for the way that You preserve us and provide for us and protect us, and You've got a great plan for us. What can we say? Well, Lord, there are times when we look at all this and we go, we have to say sorry to You because we failed to do what we should do in the storm. We have not trusted You. But thank You for every time we do trust You, all the things we've looked at this morning are just so, so real because You're a God who cares and helps us at every turn of life. Thank You, Father, how You are so worthy of our trust and confidence. May we grow in our trust of You more and more. May we be like Your own Son who trusted You completely right through to the time when He died and He said, into Your hands I commit my spirit. May we be those who trust the Lord Jesus who keeps our soul and will bring us safely into heaven's shore. Father, help us to learn from today's lesson. We might be going through storms right now. Please would You be our strength, our rock and our refuge. May we trust You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.